Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live on this Monday right here on Giants.com. I'm John Schmelk. He's Paul Dottino. The phone number for you is 201-939-4513. Of course, Big Blue Kickoff Live will be with you for the remainder of the summer up until Giants training camp, Monday through Thursday at noon right here on Giants.com. There is a show this Friday, but after that we have no more Friday shows until the beginning of August. So make sure you tune in every day, and we'll have no shows the week of July 4th either. So just wanted to give you a heads up on the schedule before we get into the program. And Paul, we're obviously done with all the spring and summer stuff. We haven't talked to you since all those things wrapped up last Thursday. So give us your thought real quick on some of the things you saw that jumped out at you that you think is relevant to what the fan base was looking for.
Well, you know, I think the fans should be very excited about this rookie class because initial impressions, and they tell you you only get one chance to make a first impression, it was all good from all of these guys. Ingram is very quick. He seems to be very football astute.
Fast.
He's got terrific hands, runs good routes, great attitude. Tomlinson really does look like he's Jonathan Hankins II. I mean, I don't know what else to say until we see him hit people in the trenches. But to this point, he looks like he really is. He's quick for a big guy, very agile. We love what we've seen out of Davis Webb. Again, you know, I've been praising his skill set since February, so I'm not surprised about that. Gallman looks quicker than I thought he was, but again, he's not in full pads, so let's see when he starts getting hit. But I think he's quicker than I thought. Bisnovati has impressed the team with his junkyard dog mentality, and has really, you know, put himself into a position to solidify the backup right tackle spot at the very least. So that's all good. So and Avery Moss is probably the only guy of the rookies for me, and you may feel differently, of the drafted rookies. He's the only one who didn't necessarily make my jaw drop at all during any of the spring workouts.
You know what?
He was just there.
In some of the ones that I saw that the media didn't have access to, I saw him get in the backfield and give some of those undrafted offensive tackles a hard time at the edge. So he actually, for a couple practices, I thought he did do a couple things that I noticed here or there. And again, you weren't out there for those because
we were here.
There was no
access. Shows.
Exactly, right. So that's obviously not your fault. But there were some practices where he did show me a little bit of something. I think he has the size and athletic ability to be a factor in Steve Spagnuolo's rotation by the time you get to the bye week, give or take.
You know, I kind of felt that about Devin Taylor, who's not a rookie. But when he got here, John, it looked like he's got an idea of what he's doing.
Paul, let me tell you, and if you guys read my practice reports on Giants.com, I wrote about him almost daily because every practice I watched, he did something, whether it was deflecting a ball at the line of scrimmage. He gave Wheeler and Bisnovati all sorts of trouble when he was playing with the second team at defensive end against those two offensive tackles. Mm-hmm.
Experience is
big,
a big part of that.
And I was about to say that. Look, he's big, he's long, and that's great. But he's also started 25 games in the NFL.
Yeah.
At least. And I think between 20 and 25 maybe. I have to look at the exact number. But he's been around the block. You know, he had, you know, more than 5 sacks last year. He's a good football player.
Mm-hmm.
I think he could be a real factor in the rotation here with how he's played and what he's done.
Giants certainly hope so. That's why they brought him in. So, you know, if John's thoughts on Moss prove to grow fruit, then this rookie class from top to bottom could really be a big help for this team.
Hey, look, we'll see.
Even though Webb is going to be a future guy, we'll see.
And, folks, this is practice with no pads. So
it is.
You have no idea what's going to happen when pads come on and you're playing games.
Simply first impressions.
Yes, and the first impressions have been positive. And quite frankly, it's hard, at least from our perspective, because we're not in the meeting room to see what these kids are doing. I mean, you have to do some really bad things to go out there and practice and be like, boy, this guy, he's really going to be a problem.
You know what I will say, though, John? In defense of us, and obviously, you know, we're not in the meeting rooms, we're not in the film rooms, and a lot of what goes on during the spring is in those film rooms. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal for these guys. In talking to fellow teammates and in talking to the coaching staff, they pretty much share what we're saying. A lot of optimism, a lot of good first impressions, and usually, if a rookie class comes in and there's a few guys who don't necessarily, you know, light up the room right away, guys don't talk about them. You don't hear about them.
That's true.
They won't down anybody. Nobody downgrades anybody when they're a rookie coming in.
They just won't mention them.
You just don't hear about them in conversation, okay? That didn't happen here.
That's correct.
All these guys were getting some pretty nice pops from the rest of the people around here. That's a good sign.
Well, it's certainly not a bad sign. And one of the note I'll make, and Paul talked about the rookies, I thought that was a good place to start because those are the new players.
Sure.
The players everyone wants to see. The one thing that I picked up, quite frankly, is that this defense, the first team defense specifically, boy, they have hit the ground with their feet going. I mean, they are running. They gave the first team offense a lot of issues during the course of practice over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, Janoris Jenkins is knocking down footballs. DRC is doing his old tricks.
Yeah.
You know, they're all over the field. I mean, this first team defense, to me, there's no reason why it shouldn't be one of the top five units in the league again. That's how good it is. So, to me, they've carried over what they started last year, and I've seen it in the spring. And without pads, Paul, you know this. In 7-on-7 with no pads and things like that, the odds are stacked against the defense. Those drills are not designed for the defense to succeed. They're designed for the offense to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And this defense had more successes than they probably should have had because they're playing so well.
Well, remember, because these are non-contact drills that they're running through, okay, what's the primary component that's going to catch your eye in these practices? It's going to be speed, quickness, and assertiveness. This defense has now been together for a second year. They should be more confident, more assertive. Therefore, they will play quicker. So this is logical. It's a logical progression as to why Spags should feel even better about these guys, even though last year they were number two in the NFL in points allowed. Number two. You know, I think every one of those guys will tell you right now, if they could be here sitting at the table, they'd like to be number one. But, you know, that remains to be seen. I'm with John, though. I see no reason why this defense is going to take a step backwards.
All right, we're going to have Sal Palantonio talking about the Eagles at 12:30, so I want to make sure I get to your calls before them.
Yeah.
Let's get to them right now. We got people on the line at 201-939-4513. Patrick in North Carolina will lead us off. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hello.
I wanted to be able to say a couple of things about what you guys talked about and then jump into what I actually called in for.
Go right ahead.
As far as the rookies, a lot of them seem to have, like, a big personalities other than Moss. Moss seems to be a little bit more soft-spoken. So I think that's one of the things that we notice as fans right off bat. And I think that, to Paul's point, another thing that you could see early on is technique, whether it's footwork, whether it's handwork, stuff like that. So I think that could be added to the conversation too.
Remember, handwork changes a lot once pads get on and guys are going full speed.
Correct. I'm with you on the footwork.
You can notice the footwork is easier. I guess is what I'm saying. Is the guy doing the right thing every time, even though he's going against air?
Yeah,
of course.
Is his repetition incorrect?
Yeah. Yeah. But again, if he does that well, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to translate. That's all I'm saying. Right.
Yeah.
The footwork usually will no matter what, because that doesn't matter.
Correct.
Pads are irrelevant. Footwork is footwork.
Yeah. And my criticism is this. When McAdoo first came over to the Giants and he got hired on as an offensive coordinator, he got applauded for one particular thing that I think all Giants fans appreciated. And that was he was very creative within his play calling. I think he got away from that last year. And you could say he didn't have the players, but even when we only were down to like one wide receiver that was a threat and it was Beckham, he was good at utilizing Beckham in very different ways to make sure that Beckham got his touches, that we were able to get him open. And we really weren't seeing that last year. We were depending on guys like Beckham to make a play and beat a guy, and that would seem to be it. I mean, it drove Giants fans crazy, speaking for myself, that defense has played two deep safety looks, basically giving us short yardage up if we could get 4 or 5 yards a clip in the running game, and we couldn't get that going. And the creativeness on McAdoo's part seemed to be lacking.
Well, see, you kind of already answered your own comment, because the running game never really did get going to the degree that it needed to.
And it's hard to get creative in the passing game against two safeties deep. There's only so much you can do.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If I said to you, here's the playbook, okay, and we're going to take three of those chapters out because we can't consistently get certain things done. Well, now you've only got maybe three other chapters left, so your creativity is going to be stunted. That's just a fact. This is why I keep talking about the power running game all the time.
you would agree that our running game hasn't been up to par for a couple of years now, even in the first 2 years McAdoo was here.
Of course.
So I don't know how much of that can be used to legitimize what happened last year.
Sure it does. You know why?
More that could have been done.
No, here's why. McAdoo comes in, all right? Giants are working with Eli. They got Odell Beckham, and they're dynamic. They're explosive. People don't know how to defend this kid when he comes out, you know, a couple years back. They don't know. He bursts onto the scene, and what you see are a bunch of defenses who are still trying to figure out what's going on, okay? And then by the time it gets to, you know, that works pretty well for a couple years. Odell's doing what he's doing. Eli's doing what he's doing. Now they get to the third year. And all of a sudden, last year, the third year, everybody's got two seasons of tape. And they're like, we know it's going to happen. We know they're not going to run the ball when so-and-so's in the game. We know they're going to throw it on third and one all the time. We've seen their draw play. We've seen their wide receiver screen. By the third year, they've seen 2 years of tape. They know it's coming. And the creativity problem is immense because your playbook's already been pared down because your offensive line can't power run the ball.
And they also maybe can't protect long enough to run some of those routes that take a long time down the field.
That too.
Well, my criticism is also my reason for optimism for this season, if that makes sense. The talent that we brought in, while you hear some of the critics saying that the Giants didn't do enough, the talent that we brought in on the offense, adding a Marshall, adding Evans, adding two big red zone threats, is also the reason why I think the creativity will be back hopefully this year.
Yes.
And the fact of some of the comments that have been from McAdoo saying that they're going to look at ways to not run the same sets and not be so predictable.
Look at it this way. You want to open up the playbook? You got your third down running back in Vereen. You got your skyscraping wide receiver for the first time since Plexico Burress and Brandon Marshall. Okay. You've got a blocking tight end now in Ellison. You've got another speed back in Goldman. You've got an offensive line that you think is going to be better. I just gave you five reasons why this offense should be more diversified and better.
Yeah. Paul, we're talking the same language here. That's my reason for optimism. Plus, if you also add in Shane Smith, who also might be a big-time fullback if he makes the roster this year as another blocker. And if we got enough O-linemen, we might even see the jumbo package.
I hope so.
I appreciate it, Patrick. Thanks for the call, pal.
All right.
Good stuff. And I think not playbook-wise, but formationally-wise, I'm not even talking personnel-wise, formationally-wise, guys like Ingram, guys like Red Ellison give you a lot of flexibility. So when they run that in the huddle and you have Ellison or Ingram on the field, guess what? You can line up Ingram outside. You can line him up in the backfield. You can line him up in the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. You can line up Ellison as a fullback. You can line up Ellison as a tight end. And that formational versatility, again, I think shows opponents different looks, which probably gives them a harder time to prepare and know what play is coming on any given down or distance situation.
Well, I'll tell you this, too. Even on a second down into third down play, okay, if you're running that no huddle, I think Paul Perkins got enough of his feet wet last year that you could successfully run a third down play with Paul Perkins in the backfield, even if you can't get Vereen out onto the field. Mm-hmm. And Perkins does enough of things, has enough of his skill set, that defenses aren't going to be looking at him and saying, oh, we know what he's going to do. No, you don't know what Paul Perkins is going to do. He can run it inside. He can run it outside. He can catch the ball. He looks like he's a willing blocker. He was okay last year when he was in there.
Sure.
It was okay. This is all good. Anyway.
201-939-4513. You're already fired up today. A little more so than usual today.
First day of the offseason. My gas is full. The tank is full. 6 weeks of this, folks, before we get back to the players on the field.
When do you have vacation?
Sometime in July.
Second week of July,
is it? I can't remember.
I think it's the second week of July, because I'm at the third week of July. So
my
you're the
goodness.
Second. Are you going somewhere, at least? Are you getting out of town?
I just need football.
You get on Jersey
Let's
Shore?
Go.
Something?
I need football.
201-939-4513. Oh, God help us all. Christian's in New York. He's up next. Hi, Christian.
Hey, guys. When it comes to Wayne Gallman, I know Paul isn't huge on the idea of him being a power back, but I like to look more at his tape than his weight, because when you look at him at Clemson, he would – bully people at first contact. And I'm not saying that that'll directly translate because people are bigger in the NFL.
Exactly. Bigger, stronger, faster.
But you'd have to think that he's going to at least be able to drive for some extra yards sometimes the way a power back does.
I hope so.
And not only that, but our line isn't quite good enough to say, hey, guess what? We're going to run it right now. And so for, you know, a 230 back, I don't know if we can really do that because the line isn't the type where you can telegraph what you're doing once in a while.
Yeah, see, Christian, I'm with you. I'm not so concerned with the power running game as I'm just concerned with running it consistently. I don't care how I do it. Just help me run the ball consistently, and I'll be a happy camper.
Yeah, but, I mean, Gallman should at least be able to hold his own on those third and ones, third and twos to get just enough. I mean, not only that, but he's well-rounded enough where you can't just assume that he's about to run it. I mean, there's just – I watched him in goal line situations so much in Clemson where he got it done.
And he did.
Not just by the skin of his teeth.
He went for 19 touchdowns last year.
Lay people out.
No, I understand. But, again, this is the NFL, bigger, stronger, faster, and I'm not sure if his power running style
– he runs high.
Which is, you know, worked in college against those kinds of athletes, is that going to work at this level? I just don't know the answer to that. And we won't know until they get pads on.
Well-rounded enough?
It's all a projection.
Keep them honest.
It's all a projection till he gets pads on. But I hope so. I hope so. Look, Darkwell runs very hard, too. For a guy his size, he runs bigger than he is.
To me, in my opinion right now, Christian, I'm happy Paul brought that name up. If I had to pick the one running back on this team that if I needed 1 yard, who would I give the ball to? I'd give it to Darkwa.
Yeah, I would too, as of right now. I just feel like we're not, I don't feel like we have nothing in that department. I feel like we have a couple of options.
Well, I will say this. If DJ Fluker should beat out John Jerry at right guard during the preseason, which I think is possible, he is a human lunar eclipse, okay? He casts a very large and wide shadow.
See, I think you go with solar eclipse because you take an even bigger body to do a solar eclipse.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, I like that. Solar eclipse is fine. the point is, he's a massive human being. He barely fits through the door. That's how big he is.
Yeah, he's wide.
You know, I got to feel, please, coach, listen to me, Coach McAdoo. You get that ball inside the two or you got a couple yards to get to the first down, just slam that ball behind DJ Fluker. I mean, come on. You got to think that's the shortest and quickest way to get in the first down.
Definitely. And also, I mean, watching Paul Perkins last year, he doesn't get shoved around. I mean, these guys – him and Gallman both play bigger than their size. I mean, Perkins, you know, he would actually drive forward a little bit. I'm not saying he would, you know, run people over and keep going, but, you know, I mean, he was pretty physical for his size.
Look, I leave you with one comment before you go. Bottom line is this. If the Giants running backs are going to continually get contacted a yard or two behind the line of scrimmage, like what happened many times to Andre Williams, in fact, much too much, and happened to Rashad Jennings an awful lot.
Well, he's one-dimensional, I mean.
And what happened to Rashad Jennings a lot, it's not going to matter who's back there, okay? The offensive line's got to do enough of a job that they can at least get those guys back to the line of scrimmage to have a chance. Otherwise, you could talk power all you want out of Gallman or Darkwa or Perkins, and it won't matter diddly. And that's the facts, Jack.
And that's why I like the fact that those running backs aren't one-dimensional, because you can't just assume that they're running it up the gut.
Well, this is why Ellison's going to be a big factor, too. And I'm really hoping to see a lot of snaps out of him.
Thank you, Christian. And Dave Dominick makes a good point. If you think about it, a solar eclipse is caused by the moon going between the Earth and the sun.
Okay.
Right? The lunar eclipse is caused between the Earth going between the sun and the moon. So the Earth is actually a larger body than the moon. So the lunar eclipse actually is bigger.
So we'll go
so
with
you
that.
Are correct. I think you should go with lunar eclipse. Dave made a good point.
A science lesson once again,
yes,
from Dave Dominick, our producer, who is a wealth of information. I appreciate that, Dave. You know, I wasn't a big science guy at Fordham.
Now, of course, you can look at it, too, where when you're in the solar eclipse, you're blocking the larger body, which is the sun. The lunar, you're blocking the smaller body, which is the moon. But still, the larger body is involved in the lunar eclipse, so you can go a lunar eclipse. That's
we
fine.
We can avoid this question entirely by just saying he's a condominium.
I think that's almost too small.
Is it?
I think you're looking for an apartment building. I think you're looking for like a multi-unit structure.
Townhouse?
You're talking about. All right, townhouse is okay.
Townhouse is okay.
It could be small, though.
He's a big man.
Yeah, he's a large fella. Another. I have one other piece of good news for you.
Yes.
I want you to mark down June 22nd on your calendar.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't know what you can find it on in terms of network. Probably CSN, I would imagine.
What do you got?
The Canadian Football League opening day. June 22nd, Saskatchewan versus Montreal.
Yes.
TSN. Tune in, Paul DeTino.
Yes.
Good job.
At the very least, I can probably stream it online.
I know, TSN. It's on TSN. So if you can find that on your cable box somewhere, you can lock into
TSN. I don't
TSN.
Have TSN on Fios.
I'm sure you can find it on one of your streams.
One of my streams will have it.
One of your streams
one
will have it.
One of my streams will have it.
Hopefully no phone calls will be coming after those streams are found. But 201-939-4513. Bash is in Ohio. He's next on Giants.com. Hi, Bash.
How we doing, fellas? What's going on, John? What's going on, Paul?
Hi, Bash.
Question. I seen over the weekend, they had since Minicat was over, they put out a little on one of the sites, an updated depth chart for the offense and defense. And I seen three things on it that was interesting. I wanted to talk to y'all about because I know y'all was out there doing OTAs and Minicat.
Bash, that's fine. I want to know one thing, though. Any depth charts that are out there are merely editorial because the Giants haven't released anything, but we're happy to talk about them.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't remember hearing
correct.
One.
Correct, right.
Right, these are just based off how the lineups were as far as first team, second team, and third team more during the OTAs and minicamp. That's what it was all based
and that's
off
fine.
Of.
Go ahead.
And I've seen three things. I wanted to ask about Darkwood because I've seen that they've seen that Darkwood was second on a depth chart behind Paul Perkins because him and Paul was the only two when, like, during first team reps, we were getting in the Shane didn't get a lot of first team reps. You can second team reps even during passing downs about Paul Perkins and Darkwood. How was Darkwood looking during minicamp? I mean, OTAs minicamp?
I think Darkwood was
one of the things I've seen.
Bash, I agree. I think Darkwood was probably second in the depth chart in terms of, like, first and second down running back snaps. Vereen was your, you know, number one third down back. Sean Drone, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Was your number two down back, excuse me. Mm-hmm. And I think Darker probably got the second most carries as a primary ball carrier behind Perkins. So I think that's probably correct based on what I saw during OTAs and minicamp.
I tell you what, Dark was the best special teams player out of all of them, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I've seen also with the defense tackle, how is Dalvin Tomlinson looking? They tied him on the third string with Jay Bromley starting next to Snacks. So how is Dalvin looking during minicamps, OTAs?
I mean, you can't tell much with defensive tackles. There's no pads. You can't push people
around.
You know, he's out there. I mean, I would honestly – I'm not sure who had more first-team snaps, Bromley or Robert Thomas. I think there was probably split, to be honest with you.
I think Thomas might have had a few more.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It seemed to me.
Again, I wasn't tracking that every play.
Yeah, it's a guess.
I would put either one of those two guys, one in Thomason's with the next group.
Right, and that's probably just because they're trying to ease in Thomason slow as we still project him, and they're just getting him – acclimated into the defense. You think that's why he's like doing second and third team reps and not with the first team unit?
Yes.
It's just because of him being a rookie?
Yes.
And third thing I wanted to talk about was B.J. Goodson. I know that he's the first and second. I've also seen that they're putting him with Casillas as far as the nickel thing and working him as the second linebacker with the nickel package. Just how he worked with – they're trying to make him a third down back. I've seen that. That's actually interesting and good. They're trying to make him three down back, and he was working with Casillas at the nickel package.
I think they're trying to see what he can do, and I think the best time to see what they can do is in spring. So you put him out there. I saw him stay with a couple of running backs on some swing routes out of the backfield. I thought he did okay, but until you get into a game situation with stuff like that, it's hard to tell.
Okay. That's why I was like, calling about those things. I've seen that, and it was just like an updated thing as far as the depth chart. But I was just asking about those three players. That was all for the day, fellas.
Thanks, Bash.
Great.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. I thought those were some good questions.
Seems to be, and again, you talk to the coaches and the fellow defensive players, there seems to be a lot of optimism about B.J. Goodson. His assertiveness in the huddle, as D.R.C. expressed the other day.
And Casillas said that too.
Yeah. Apparently, Goodson yelled at D.R.C. in the huddle about something relating to a play, and D.R.C. wasn't too cool with that. He's like, hey, I'm a veteran now. He's a linebacker, and I'm a veteran. You know, he can't be doing that. That was pretty funny. That was really, really funny. DRC said he was letting him slide this time, but next time he better not yell at him. So that's good stuff. It shows you that B.J. Goodson's gaining confidence and assertiveness, and he's not afraid to step into the shoes that he's been asked to fill. That's a good sign.
Yeah, and I know DRC will always deny this and laugh off the question, but from what I've seen, he is – if I had to pick a vocal leader of the defense, I think I'd pick him.
He has a lot of respect in that locker room.
And you hear him pre-snap yelling stuff out of practice. Mm-hmm. Even when the second and third team's out there and he's on the side, he's yelling stuff out to those guys.
It's hard not to hear him.
Well, he has such a unique voice and a unique cadence. You hear him when he does it. And I know he doesn't like to, you know, be – he doesn't want to be known as that guy. And like,
no, he doesn't. He doesn't like that.
He likes pushing those questions away. But to me, he has been a very positive influence on guys in that regard. And I think he really has embraced that role more than he likes to let on.
I agree.
It's funny. I never thought he would be the guy to do that based on what you heard about him before he got here.
Mm-hmm.
But he has been such a good teammate that I think he's really blown away expectations, in my opinion.
I absolutely agree. And he's coming off, I think, his best year as a Giant, maybe best year of his career.
We'll be joined by Sal Palantonio from ESPN in just a couple of minutes, talking about the Philadelphia Eagles. And, Paul, I've thought about this. To me, the two best divisions of football next year, NFC East, AFC West.
I don't see any argument for me on that one. I really don't. And it just so happens they played each other.
Did you know the NFC East was the only division last year where every single team had a positive point differential?
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
And by the way, the West had three teams with a positive point differential, with the Chargers the only team below. It was only below by about 30 points. They're only about a minus 30, I think. So, you know, there were two teams, two divisions that really had a lot of very good teams.
You know, it's interesting, the four West Coast trips that the Giants have to make, fortunately for them, they're not in a bad configuration on the schedule. So it may make it a tad easier than it could otherwise be for them, because it is going to be a difficult schedule. They've drawn a difficult division. They're in a difficult division. And those trips, if they're placed in a bad way, can really cripple you. The Giants are lucky the way they were placed on the sked.
Absolutely. And now we're joined by our guest, our good buddy Sal Pal. Sal Palantonio from ESPN. Sal, you're with John Schmelk and Paul Dottino. Thanks for giving us some time today before I'm sure you jet off onto some tropical vacation before the league really gets cooking at the end of July.
Oh, actually, I decided to start my vacation just a little bit early, but I am very happy to interrupt to talk to two of my closest friends and talk about the NFC East and the Philadelphia Eagles. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thanks, Sal. We appreciate it. And I'm going to try to get to the brass tacks here with the Eagles, because I think they have a very, very talented roster. The way they've kind of rebuilt it since Chip Kelly departed, I think, is a real, you know, credit to Howie Roseman and the job that he's done putting all these guys together and pieces together. But offensively, at least, and I'll start there, to me, this is going to be very much dependent on how much progress Carson Wentz makes from year one to year two. What have you heard from what they're seeing in the spring about his development, decision-making, mechanics, and all those types of things that you can at least judge in some way, shape, or form during spring workouts?
Well, I've been around him a lot during the spring workouts. I was there for mandatory minicamp last week. And let me give you the book of what I've seen and what I've heard from the coaching staff on Carson Wentz. First of all, real leadership skill, real charisma on and off the field, a guy that other players want to be around, whether it's Jason Peters, the veteran, or Donnell Pumphrey, the rookie they got out of San Diego State. They're all taking their cues from the way Carson Wentz approaches the game. So that's a big plus. He obviously went out to the West Coast and worked out with Tom Brady's throwing coach for 2 weeks to work on his mechanics. They wanted him to shorten up the looping hitch that he had in his throwing motion to try to increase quickness in his release. I didn't see a lot of that, to tell you the truth, Paul. I watched a lot of him throwing the football, and I don't think that they really improved the quickness of his release. The second thing was they wanted him to open up his left foot. He's naturally pigeon-toed. Open up his left foot so he would have a trajectory that would be more reflective of his power in his back foot, so that his deep ball would have a little bit more power and as a result have more velocity and as a result have more accuracy. Because as you know, when you have great velocity on your deep ball, you tend to develop accuracy off of that. That was something that plagued Tom Brady early in his career, and they fixed it. Tom House and those folks out on the West Coast, they fixed it, and they fixed it to the point where he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. So he's a work in progress as far as mechanics. But I think he's going to be a franchise-level quarterback for a long time to come because I think he's taking the right approach both on and off the football field.
You know, it's interesting, Sal, because here he comes into his sophomore season, and the Eagles have now rebuilt three critical skill positions around him in bringing in LeGarrette Blount, Torrey Smith, and Alshon Jeffrey. You know, that could cause a little bit of discombobulation as Wentz goes into his second year. You say he's got a lot of things he's already trying to work on to improve, and now he's got a real unfamiliar skill set around him.
He does, and that is another work in progress. I'm really impressed with Alshon Jeffrey. When I first saw him, Paul, during the spring practices, he just looks like Harold Carmichael in terms of size and strength. And he's wearing Carmichael's old number, number 17. And when I saw that, I was like, really? The Eagles did not retire number 17 into the Ring of Honor? How's that? That's a complete oversight. But nevertheless.
Agreed.
Jeffrey, yeah, totally. And so Jeffrey looks good. Torrey Smith looks good. LeGarrette Blount, they had him in very light work during the spring. I'm a little bit skeptical about what Blount can bring. Everybody talks about 18 touchdowns last year, but nobody talks about the fact that there was a fullback on the field during 14 of those 18 runs, and the Eagles do not have a fullback on their roster. Blount is going to have to learn a different way to run without the fullback on the field, and I think that that's going to be a significant adjustment for him.
You know, and Sal, we're joined by Sal Palantonio, ESPN. I think one part of this Eagle team that is perennially underrated is the offensive line, and we saw how that performance suffered last year when Lane Johnson was suspended for that 10-game stretch. They're bringing back basically their entire group, and I think it gives Wentz a chance to succeed. I think it gives a running back group to succeed that maybe doesn't have the most talented guys. You know, Ryan Matthews is hurt all the time. Sproles is more of a third down back, and they're draft pick Pumphrey is more of a smaller guy, too. I think this offensive line is perennially underrated, and I think they are one of the better units in the league that nobody talks about.
They're a good unit. I mean, I think they're light in center with Jason Kelsey. I'm anxious to see. Jason Peters is going to be the oldest starting offensive lineman in the NFL in 2017. Oldest starting left tackle. I'm anxious to see how he plays this year. I really am. And, you know, as far as Lane Johnson goes, you know, his suspension ruined the Eagles season. And he's got a lot to make up, not only for the team, his teammates, but the fan base. He spent a lot of capital last year, a lot of goodwill. And this is a put-up-or-shut-up year for Lane Johnson.
Sal, let me flip it to defense because the wide nine and their pass rush, their defensive front, they rotate so many guys. And for the last several years, that's been the strength of their D because God knows their secondary has had a lot of troubles. Well, Graham is still back. Cox is still back. But is this pass rush still got the teeth that it needs to make up for some deficiencies on the backside?
Well, Paul, I think the key is that Schwartz does not blitz enough. He's not Spags, and he needs to be more like Spags. Last year, the Eagles were in the bottom fifth of the league in blitz percentage, and that is just way too low. When you don't have the kind of corners that you need to play the wide nine where you're only rushing four, even on critical passing downs, mm-hmm. you're not going to get to the quarterback, and you're putting too much pressure on your corners. They don't have Janoris Jenkins back there. They don't have Landon Collins back there. I mean, to me, that's the thing. The Giants' defense is built around a very solid secondary. You could say Landon Collins is one of the top two safeties in the league, and he's a young man. And, you know, Jenkins had, what, two interceptions against Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers only had seven all year last mm-hmm. year. So Jenkins is in a class by himself, in my view, in the NFC East, and I'm putting Josh Norman on that list.
Right.
So I think that the Eagles, there's two ways the Eagles, in my view, can go from 7-9 to say 9-7 this year or 10-6. One, Schwartz needs to blitz more. you know, he has this strict adherence to a strategy of not blitzing and just rushing four, and it hurt them last year. It really hurt them, especially during that losing streak when they lost to Seattle, they lost to Green Bay, they lost to Cincinnati, they lost to Washington, they lost to Baltimore. In all of those games, they gave up an average of 27 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not going to do it. And the second thing, and going back to LeGarrette Blount, they need to run the ball more on offense. They were totally imbalanced on offense. You know, they asked Carson Wentz to throw the ball 607 times last year. That's the second most for any rookie quarterback in NFL history. Only Andrew Luck was more in his rookie campaign.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. They got to have more balance on offense, especially in the NFC East.
You know, Sal, and in terms of not blitzing as much, I'm sure one of the reasons they drafted Derek Barnett in the first round, and then they kind of swapped out Benny Logan for Tim Journey to get a more agile defensive tackle that wants to get up the field, is so they can try to produce pressure without trying to blitz, right?
Can't happen in the National Football League.
I agree with you.
And listen, all you got to do is look at your team right there. Spagnuolo comes in and they start blitzing, and he's got help. He can handle it on the back end, leaving his guys on an island. And all of a sudden, the Giants, you know, ride a terrific defense into the playoffs. And if Odell Beckham Jr. hangs on to the ball, they might get out of Green Bay with a win.
Yeah, and it's funny, Sal, you mentioned that. And you mentioned the cornerbacks briefly, and to me, if you're going to pinpoint a weakness on this Eagle team in terms of talent, I think you go to the cornerback spot. Jalen Mills hasn't played up to the potential they thought he had when he was drafted. Obviously, he got moved there in a trade. They bring in Patrick Robinson, but you know, Sidney Jones probably isn't going to give him much this year coming off the Achilles. Can they get enough out of that cornerback spot in a division where you have three teams with pretty darn good quarterbacks and wide receiver sets?
No, I think the Eagles will struggle at corner. I think you're absolutely right. You know, Jalen Mills was a seventh-round pick, and there's a reason why he was a seventh-round pick. They did draft a young man who I think has some real potential in Rasul Douglas. There's no question about that. But again, he was drafted in the third round, and the reason was simple. He doesn't have the speed down the field to handle a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. or Dez Bryant one-on-one. So he'll probably be moved into the slot. Patrick Robinson, this is his fourth NFL team since coming out of Florida State. You know, he's moved around quite a bit. He's more of a journeyman, stopgap guy. You know, they obviously want to make sure that they get something out of Sidney Jones, who they picked up in the second round, but I don't see that happening this year. I think it's going to be very difficult to get anything out of him. An Achilles heel injury on a cornerback is very problematic to me.
Now, I agree with you on that one, Sal, for sure. All right, let me ask you this then. Is there a guy who's under the radar who we have not addressed amongst the starters and some of the key reserves? Is there an under-the-radar guy who could be an X factor and appreciably make the Eagles better than maybe some people think?
I think it's Donnell Pumphrey, the running back. I mentioned him earlier out of San Diego State, fourth-round pick, 5'8", 176. He's light. But, Paul, he didn't miss a single snap in college football.
Right.
So he's extremely durable, you know, knock on wood. He looks like he could be a matchup nightmare. He's extremely shifty. What I've seen, maybe I'm talking out of school here, but what I've seen in practices, they've been putting Sproles and Pumphrey, they're nearly identical, although Sproles is a little thicker and Pumphrey's a little faster, on the field in a pony formation at the same time with Pumphrey in motion or Pumphrey in the slot and then in motion. And I think that's a pretty volatile matchup for any defense if you have those two guys on the field with a big guy like Alshon Jeffrey and a speedy Torrey Smith. I think that could be a pretty good offensive set for the Eagles.
I agree with that, Sal, because if you're not in a sub-package, you're going to have a tough time keeping up with them athletically. That's a problem.
It is. You know, most teams now are playing sub-packages 65 to 70% of the time anyway. And that goes back to your point about the corner position made earlier is, you know, you need four corners, really, now in the NFL. You need two starters, a starting slot guy, and a guy who can pick up the slack because you put so much pressure on your corners. Or you need to have a safety who's more of a hybrid, who can play in a versatile role. And so I think that that's the one position that we'll be watching for the Philadelphia Eagles this year. I mean, yeah, they got bodies, rotation, I understand that. But they need to get to the quarterback more than they did last year. Especially, you know, I think the Giants picking up Evan Engram, that's a nightmare for the rest of the NFC East when you look at what they have wide receiver-wise and at the tight end position, I think.
Well, that's what they're hoping for, Sal.
Yeah,
I'll tell
no
you
question.
That.
Sal, final question before we let you go. NFC East in general, I think all four teams are really talented. Only division last year to have a positive point differential for every team in the division. How do you see this division breaking out this year when all is said and done?
You know, I look at a lot of things, but the thing that I look at the most is strength of schedule.
Yeah.
And, because it fluctuates year to year. People don't want to admit it, but luck plays an important role in any NFL season. Strength of schedule and turnover margin, to me, are key.
Yep.
And I think the NFC East is going to be so competitive because the schedule strength for each of those four teams is not going to be easy. None of them have an easy schedule this year. And I think it's going to be tough for two teams this year to come out of the division in the playoffs like last year.
I
really do.
I agree.
I think the winner of the division will be the lone survivor, the lone playoff representative out of the NFC East. And if you right now said, give me that one team, I'm going to say the New York Giants. I am. I just don't see the Cowboys winning 13 games. I see a little bit of a sophomore letdown with Elliott and Prescott. I'm picking the Giants right now, and, you know, all things being equal, we're talking before training camp, but I think when you look at the schedule, I think the Giants are the team to beat in the division.
Sal, great stuff. We appreciate the time. Get back to your vacation. Thanks for carving out a few minutes, and we'll see you when camp starts at the end of July.
Enjoy, Sal. Thanks.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you, Sal. That's Sal Palantonio. We thank him for giving a few minutes on the Philadelphia Eagles.
You know, really enjoyed his thorough breakdown. I love the fact that
the stuff on Wentz was tremendous.
I was just going to say, he broke down Carson Wentz better than anybody I've heard.
Tremendous.
He was all over it.
Tremendous.
He was absolutely all over it. And, you know, again, he's right. Guy threw the ball 600 times last year as a rookie. Now, the good news is he's got a lot of experience. He's seen practically everything he needs to see. That's true. The bad news is there was a lot on his shoulders, and there's a lot they got to fix. You know, and I'll tell you something. I was a Carson Wentz fan coming out of school.
Yep.
I thought he was the best quarterback in that draft last year.
I agree with you.
However, I didn't even know about the pigeon toe thing. I never heard that.
Nah. Opening up his feet. And
never heard that.
And that's interesting.
And you know, you don't get close-ups on the guy's feet when you're watching tape on game cut-ups either. You just don't notice that.
Mm-hmm.
Great stuff from Sal. And, you know, again, the huge question with the Eagles, which continues to be, it's that back seven on defense.
Yeah.
You just don't know how they're going to stop people.
I like their safety, so I don't want to put the safeties into that conversation. Look, Malcolm Jenkins and Rodney McLeod are good players.
Yeah, but as good as your two safeties are, if the rest of
that's why you say
is no good, you say back seven.
I say corners.
Yeah, but their linebackers aren't that good either.
All right, that's fine. They're adequate, and that's
it.
About it. No,
that's
I agree
it.
With that. But to me, that linebacker crew is fine if Sidney Jones was at 100% and, you know, they had another good veteran corner in there. You know, he's right. Jalen Mills was a seventh-round pick. I mean, you can't expect a whole lot of that. Patrick Robinson.
They are what they are.
Exactly. So they're going to have to figure a way to play around some of those weaknesses at corner. I know what Sal's saying with the blitzing. It's not what Jim Schwartz does. I don't think he's going to blitz more. I think the reason they drafted Derek Barnett, the reason they brought in Chris Long, the reason they brought in Tim Jerning, and so they won't have to blitz. And I think that's what they're going to try to do. Whether it works or not, we'll see. It might not. I think Sal's also right on that fact that it's probably not going to work because you have to give different looks in this league if you want to succeed.
Yeah, one thing I will say, John, even with the most talented defenses in the league nowadays, because of the way offenses have an athletic advantage in so many ways, and because they substitute so many times, and because they have so much versatility, the athletes have gotten so good in this league now that if your defense cannot schematically give an offense something to think about, it's a problem. Even if you've got talent back there, you've got to be able to schematically cause issues for folks. That's one of the reasons I've always been a huge Steve Spagnuolo fan as a coordinator.
Yeah, and he does different things. He puts the pressure on the offense to adjust, and it works. And it's just very hard if you want to give those same looks all the time. Look, I think Jim Schwartz is an excellent defensive coordinator. I think he's one of the best defensive coordinators in the league. I think he does a really good job. We saw the drop-off when he left Buffalo and what that unit looked like after he left the Bills to when he was there. It was a huge drop-off. And, frankly, I thought he did a pretty good job with the Eagles last year given what he had to deal with in the secondary. I think that was an issue. So I think he's a good coordinator, and the Eagles have to figure it out. I think the Eagles are going to be around 500. Like Sal said, last year they were 7-9. I think without the Lane Johnson injury, they probably win a few more games. I did a little study here on what's going to go up later today on the Eagle opposition report.
Okay.
In terms of what they did last year in terms of the record. They started the year 3-1. That one loss was a one-point loss to the Lions in week number 4. So they could have easily started 4-0. In their next 10 games, when Lane Johnson did not play, they went 2-8. They won their final two games of the year.
We knew that was going to be a big loss.
Of the Eagles' 9 losses during the year, 2 were by 1 point, and 4 others are by 1 score or less. So they were involved in a lot of close games that they did not win.
So were most teams in the league, though. They're saying how the predominant number of games this year are decided by 6 points or less, which is one possession.
Correct, but for a team to be plus, let me see what the Eagles were in terms of plus point differential here real quick. They were plus 36 in point differential. That usually does not equate to a 7-9 record. That usually equates to a 9-7 record.
That's fair.
Which is why I do think, especially Carson Wentz, one year getting a little bit better. You add better weapons and wide receiver, which we talked about. Lane Johnson not suspended. I think there is a window here for the Eagles to be a better team record-wise this year than they were last year. That being said, I do think because of issues at corner, and the fact that Wentz is just in his second year, I think there is a ceiling that they can hit. Like, I would be blown away, shocked beyond belief if they figure out a way to win more than 10 games. I think 10 is their absolute max, but I think they can get there if everything goes right. That's how I look at it.
I'm still sticking with Giants, Redskins 1-2. Dallas and Eagles fighting for 3-4. That's how I see it.
Yeah, I think the Redskins are going to be in last place this year.
Could be. I wanted to just throw out one Twitter comment, if I can, before the calls, John. A.J. Sure. Marshall says he wants thoughts on a Good Morning Football poll that was taken this morning. They asked which team has the best pass-catching trio.
Well, the Giants have got to be right there.
Kyle Brandt did say the Giants. He's one of their hosts on the on that program, and he was looking at the Giants with Marshall, Shepard, and OBJ. I don't know if they're number one. But they're certainly top three.
Well, who else would be in the mix with them? Who are the – I mean
– Well, let's see.
The Falcons with Sanu, Julio Jones, and who's the short guy, the fast guy that played the slot lane the year that ended up making a couple big plays for them? You know who I'm talking about. I can't think of the kid's name.
Yes. You know what? Maybe they picked him. Hold on. Let's see. We'll call up Good Morning Football. There he is.
There we go. They don't have the name for the third.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. They don't have his name there.
Hold on. I can bring up the Falcons depth
chart. Okay,
I have it here.
And the other pick was the Steelers.
I think that's a good one, too. The problem, though, is that, I mean, the second and third guys, I think, are still pretty big.
Yeah, Brown, Bell, and Bryant, because they're considering Le'Veon Bell.
That's cheating.
As a receiver.
No, sorry. That's cheating. I'm not buying that.
Well, he catches a lot of balls.
He's not a receiver, though. He's a running back.
I know.
Looking forward. Gabriel Taylor. Sorry.
Yeah, that's him.
That would be the third guy.
Anyway, those are the three the different hosts picked.
The Redskins were in that mix before, but they lost a couple of wide receivers in the offseason. They're not there anymore. Terrence Williams takes the Cowboys out of the mix. No one in the AFC West, certainly. How about the Broncos? Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. Yeah. And who's the third guy over there now? I'm trying to remember who the third guy is.
Oh,
let me look it up. Hold on.
It's so too early for me to start thinking about people's depth charts, to be honest.
Well, I'm going to start doing this team preview, so I got to be on top of this. Sanders, Thomas, and their third wide receiver. Yeah, they don't really have a good third one, so I can't go Denver there.
I'll tell you what, okay? I'll tell you what. We could talk 3-3-3-3-3 all you want. if Evan Engram is anything like we think he's going to be, the Giants will have the best four combination of hands in anybody's league.
That's fair. That's fair. I mean, you can always go Packers, too, with Devontae Adams, Cobb, and Jordy Nelson.
That's not a bad trio. That's not a bad trio.
It's not bad.
They didn't make NFL Network's cut, but I agree with you. I think that's a pretty damn good one.
How about
one
this? Who's the Bucs' third receiver?
Oh.
Let me look that up. I got all the depth charts here.
Like I said, it's just too early for me to think about NFL depth charts right now.
That's why I'm just checking. Because they have Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson, yes, which is obviously wonderful.
They got two.
Yeah, they don't really have a third guy that jumps out at you. Adam Humphries, he did some stuff as a third guy last year, but no.
All right. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there while we had a minute.
That's a good one. And I think I would go with the Giants, I think. All right, I got two calls. I want to get to both of you before you say goodbye. Let's go to Jeff in Rhode Island next. Jeff, what's going on? What's up going on, pal?
Hey, hi guys. How you doing today?
Doing great, Jeff. Thank you.
Good. Okay, that's good. I just had one question and one comment. Sure. How's this kid, Gallman, moving around out there, drafted running back? I know you can't tell a lot from, without pads, but how is he moving around?
He has some quickness. He has some agility. I mean, he's shown that jump covered ability to make some guys miss and get outside. But, I mean, beyond that, it's kind of hard to tell. Paul, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, look, again, first impression looks a lot more like Perkins even than what we thought. But let's get him in a game. This is a great example. You know what? John, myself, Feagles, Lance, how many times in the last 3 months have you guys heard us talk about got to see him in a game, got to see him with the pads on? This is why every single one of you who doesn't like the preseason, now you know why. August 11th, preseason opener against the Steelers. It's one of the greatest nights of the year for me. I can't wait for the preseason because some of these questions start to get answered. You better watch. Every snap matters, John. Every snap. Dig it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I watch every preseason game that's available to me to watch, so I've always been interested in that. And
are you out of town?
If not, I try and listen to them online if possible,
Hold up. I want you to know, two of the Giants' preseason games are network telecasts.
Well, that's good. That's even better.
The Browns game
is the NFL Network,
It's NFL
right?
Network, yeah. And the Steelers game is, I believe, Browns game's ESPN. And Steelers game is NFL Network.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Two of the four games are national television games,
and
so that's
Jeff,
good for you.
If you have NFL Network, they will replay every preseason game that gets played over the course
on tape
of the
delay.
Week. So you just got to find it and set your DVR or VCR or whatever you got and set that up for you, right?
Right.
Well, I'll also get to see the Patriots because that's televised locally up here.
Right.
There you go. But you'll get their announcers.
I had a question about in regard to Ellison, the tight end that we signed.
Yes, sir.
I've heard you guys speak a lot about him playing fullback. Now, do you simply mean that he's just going to be used as simply a blocking back? Because, I mean, he has nothing to offer in regard to running the ball. And my question is, if we want to have a blocking fullback, wouldn't it be better to have a guy that can block and can run the ball as well?
No, because you'd rather have a guy, Jeff, that can do something when you don't want a traditional fullback on the field. Because the way this Giants offense is set up, a traditional fullback is only called for at most maybe a dozen plays in the game, and I think that's on the high end. You're You're looking at more like a half dozen, more or less. So, want to have a guy that can do other things when you don't ask for a fullback. So if Red Ellison can also play in the line as a tight end when he's not playing that fullback role, he could be on the field for 40, 45 snaps a game. When if you have a fullback that can run it a little bit, you're looking at a guy that's going to be on the field half that, if maybe even a little less.
And remember, Ellison, and we were just talking to Bob Popper for his PapaCast a little bit earlier before we came in here, and Bob made a great point, and he's right. There are going to be times when the Giants have so many weapons that they're going to be sending out in a formation, especially if they get down inside the 10 or the 5-yard line, and all of a sudden Ellison's going to sneak out, and he's going to be all alone. And no one's going to pay any attention to him. He'll have 5 yards of open space on both sides of him, and he's going to catch a touchdown pass because no one's even going to blink. And you could do that with him. It's a little harder to do that with a fullback.
Well, yeah, okay. I mean, I hope it works that way, but you still have to have somebody back there that's going to be able to block and protect the quarterback as well. So I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with you about not having a regular fullback there, some guy that can run and block and catch the ball. Unless, of course, that's going to impact the number of tight ends that we're going to carry on a roster.
Well, it would.
I really don't know why we need to carry more than three and have one guy on a practice squad. What do you think about that?
Well, you see, you know, if you're going to carry a fullback, and again, I know that Smith is the guy that we're all thinking about because he came in here from California and he's a hulking individual. I from what I can see, and remember, he didn't run the ball at all in college either. Did not run the ball at all. I don't see him making the active 53. As it stands now, after going through the spring, I think he's probably more of a practice squad player. And I think this way you keep four tight ends.
I agree.
Okay?
Yeah.
And Ellison becomes the swing guy. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, if Matt Lacoste stays healthy, he's one of those four. He's going to make it. As long as he can stay on the field.
Thank you, Jeff. We got to run, pal.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Nick in the Meadowlands will be our final caller. Hey, Nick.
What's up, fellas?
Hi. You only got a couple minutes.
How are we doing
Nick,
today?
Make it quick. We're doing great.
Hey, Paul, I'm going to start calling you Chaz. I saw some of your old hairdos, man, that John was talking about. Yeah, you remember the line the other day, now you just can't leave. Hey,
we all get old, my friend. Just remember that.
And remember, Google Images never dies. I can't lose hardly any more hair, so I'm not going anywhere.
Red Ellison, didn't he have an injury? Like in the
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
He has not been on the field yet.
Correct.
So, backup plan, maybe we got to get that guy Smith signed as a fullback because you know how these calf injuries can be. You know, I'm optimistic. I hope this guy, you know, he's been real durable over the years.
That's a ways down the road.
Victor Cruz had a bad calf injury, you know, a couple players. Sometimes those calf injuries, they just lurk, you know.
I know.
So what's the backup plan with that, you know? Sign the guy Smith?
I mean, he could if he shows that he's warrants the job.
I mean, bring Will Johnson back. He's out there. He's on the street.
And I'll be honest with you, too. You know, Matt Lacoste has versatility.
I don't think
I'd like to use him there.
A little tall for a fullback. He's 6'6".
I don't think I'd like to use him there, but he did do it in Illinois. I'm just saying.
And if he can stay durable.
Well, that's the thing, too. We're looking at a guy who's had 2 years of injuries.
Yeah, that, definitely with that. And Flowers, like I was saying to John the other day, he looks good, man. I think all this is going to pay off for him. He looks good. He dropped a little weight, you know, in his stomach. You know? Looks stronger.
Mm-hmm. So, all right.
You know, Charlie out there thinks that offensive linemen fall off the trees. So just trying to tell all the other fans, what we got is what we got, and let's hope that they build a chemistry, you know, with the guys that have been together a few years. And I can't wait for them to put the pads on, man. I can't wait.
Sounds good, Nick. Thanks for the call, bud. Good to hear from you.
You guys take care.
Take it easy.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, thanks for joining us. For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmelk. We're back tomorrow with another episode of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Me and Lance tomorrow will preview the Detroit Lions.
Detroit or Dallas?
Mickey's not available for another couple weeks. He's not on vacation, so I moved them
You're
back.
Doing the Lions?
Yeah, we're doing the Lions tomorrow instead. So tune in. Check it out. We'll see you then on Giants.com. Adios, everybody.